Recorded Books presents Playing a Dangerous Game by Patrick O'Cheng, narrated by Tony Tambi. Chapter 1. Mama is all smiles. She rubs her hands together and runs her tongue against her lips. She does that when she is excited. The opportunity to join Hill School doesn't come every day. She shouts louder than the railway siren, and you would think she had won the lottery. Baba has been promoted. The day before yesterday, he came back from work waving a yellow letter that said he was now a manager. Oh Lord, shelter your servant from all those who would wish him harm. Mama went down on her knees and prayed when she saw Baba's promotion letter, and we had no option but to follow suit. Shelter him under your wing, O Lord. Scatter all the doubting Thomases to the four corners of the earth. And Lord, now that your servant has been promoted, it is only right that he gets one of those management houses up on the hill. She went on and on, stopping only after Baba loudly cleared his throat. The very next day, a Friday, my younger sister, Awino, and I sit the Hill School admission interview and pass. Me, I suspect those snobs of Hill School just wanted to see who they're admitting into their posh school. They allow us a whole week to make preparations before starting at Hill School, but Mama insists that we get all the stuff we need early enough. Saturday would be a good day to do the shopping, she says. Why not wait until Monday when all the shops are open? Baba suggests. And Mama reluctantly agrees. She spends the weekend writing a list of what she says will make us look like real Hill School kids. It's Monday morning, and those shops in town do not open their doors until 8, Mama wakes us up at dawn. I rub the sleep from my eyes and watch Deno curled up in a ball under his blanket and envy him. Deno is 12, 2 years older than me. He is in Standard 7 and will be doing his final exams this year. So Baba thought it wouldn't be a good idea for him to change schools. He will be staying on at St. Joseph's Primary School. I head for the bathroom, but Awino is already at the door, a towel wrapped around her head. Please, let your little sister go first, Mama says, after Awino's shouting attracts her attention. You would think Mama is requesting. But me? I know it's an order that can be enforced with a smack. So I let Awino use the bathroom first, and she stays in there forever. Mama's threats finally get her out. 8 on the dot, and we are off with Mama striding ahead. She stops at the foot of the rail overpass to take Awino's hand. She grabs out for mine, but I'm too quick for her. But she gets a grip on my hand when we approach a white, gated house on Desai Street that has remained unoccupied for years, ever since a white woman and her daughter died mysteriously in it. Mama drags us to the opposite side of the street, like the house is a threat. The further one stays from that evil house, the better, she whispers, and increases her pace. I steal a glimpse of the imposing house behind an unkempt hedge. A tall zambarao tree sways above its rusty iron roof. Mama? Yes, Awino. Is it true a girl and her mother died in that house? And that the girl's father later committed suicide? She glances over her shoulder. You are too small to be talking about such things. Mama drags her forward. Are there ghosts in that house? Awino persists. Now, who has been feeding you that nonsense? Deno says, wait until we get back home. Then I'll teach that stupid brother of yours to stop filling your mind with such stories, Mama says. And I'm glad I'm not the one who told Awino about the ghost house. Most of the shops are opening when we get to River Road, which Baba often says is the heart of Nairobi City. Cars are already speeding up and down, their horns blaring. You keep pulling your hand away, and those crazy bus drivers will run you over. Mama makes another grab for my hand. I'd rather some bus ran me over than be seen by my friends as I'm dragged all over the place by my mother, I tell myself.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?